What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them, and I'll walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And here is a condition of their covenant. God will live in us. Well, isn't that what grace is all about? Christ in you, the hope of glory? That is the premise of God's covenant of grace, that he will live in us and not live in a building. And his word wouldn't be on a tablet of stone, but on the fleshly tables of the heart and on the delicate, sensitive barometer of our conscience. That's where it's written. That's the covenant of grace. But it is conditioned and premised upon this right here, verse 17. Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And then what? Touch not the unclean thing. Be holy. And I will receive you. Conditional. Or he won't receive you. There's more old phonies in this nation. These churches are raging and ranting with these old spirits of lust. The Bible calls them, 1 Timothy 4:1, seducing spirits that seduce you and bring your attention down off of Christ, off the Bible, off his holiness, to some old preacher that lives in the flesh and a bunch of Christians that are lukewarm and Laodicean and world-conforming. They're not your examples. God, have mercy, saints. That's what Christians today have got, though. They're looking at a bunch of old stumbling, bumbling, professing Christians, and, oh, yeah, but you can't say nothing. You can't. I'm going to show you can here in a minute. See, God said conditional. If you'll be separate, touch not the unclean thing, I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty, if you come out from among these idolaters, them Jezebels, them old Demases and Diotrepheses and all of that bunch, Balaams, teaching God's people to commit fornication and eat things offered to idols and so forth. If you'll come out, you don't be joined up with unbelievers in the Bible. You don't have fellowship with those unrighteous people. You don't let your light have communion with that darkness. It'll get all mixed up and your light will become darkness. You don't have no part with a heathen. You don't have no agreement, your temple, with those idolatrous crowd. Then he says, I'll receive you. I'll come in and live in you. And I'll be your God, and you'll be my sons and daughters if you'll be separate and touch not the unclean thing. Even in the church, there's a grave warning in the Word of God in how God commands us to use separation as the principle of the governing of the body of Christ that we are members of. Enforce separation. Don't ask for it. Don't request it. Demand it. You don't believe it? Listen to this. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 9. I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters. See, if a man's a confirmed sinner, a woman's a confirmed sinner, and they're a fornicator, or a covetous, or an extortioner, or an idolater, you can't get away from them. You'd have to go out of the world. But now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that's called a brother, any church member, a preacher that's called a Christian, if he's a fornicator, or he is covetous, or he's an idolater, or he is a railer, or he is a drunkard, or he's an extortioner, with such a one, no, not to eat. God have mercy. Don't have no fellowship with him, or God will leave you. You're not playing around with God. You might toy around with a preacher. You ain't going to toy around with a God that wrote this Bible. For what have I to do to judge with them that are without? Paul says, I don't judge them that are without. Do not ye judge them that are within. Man puts his foot in the church door or claims to be a Christian, then we have a right to judge him. Did you know that? But them that are without, see, God judges, but you judge them within. Therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person. God calls an idolater or an extortioner or a fornicator or a covetous person a wicked person. Somehow or another, we got it all messed up, like this fuss and fight over PTL, this demise or confusion that's resulted over an alleged case of fornication, that's the only grave sin. I don't think that disqualified that man a bit if he got forgiveness over it and what he's doing, if he really truly repented and had forgiveness from God. Repented, he quit, in other words, 7 years ago. I think what disqualifies him, he don't preach the Bible. I think it's the example that he's permitting his wife to get up there and seduce other women to commit that act of Jezebel. That's what reduces him down to nothing in the sight of God or men, either one. It should. It wasn't the other. But Lord, we want to go back and dig up something years ago to destroy a person. God's grace is bigger than that. And I've heard this all my life, and it's from the 1 Samuel, the 2nd chapter, about Eli. Eli let his sons commit fornication in the temple of God with women right back in the days when he was a high priest. And from that result, that family was destroyed, the whole family. And then there got to be a proverb from Eli that goes like this. It's not altogether the bad thing about a man what he does that makes him bad. It's what he permits. That's the way it is with a preacher. It's not altogether what the preacher is. It's what he allows that makes him a rascal and a misfit and a reject by God and the Holy Ghost. I know I should be disfrocked and disqualified and standing in the pulpit and being a teacher and example to you for those sins of immorality and so forth. But with God, there's something worse than that. And that's holding my peace and not crying out against sin in your lives. That's worse than a sin in my life when I'm a dumb dog and won't cry out against your sin and world conformity and the way that you're insulting God's holiness with your lifestyle of irreverence and disrespect for what the Bible says it ought to be. That's what will put me in more condemnation with God than just me committing a sin. And both are equally wrong. God help us to realize separation. Keep yourself pure. 1 Timothy 5:22, be not partakers of other men's sins. Keep thyself pure, man of God. Oh, Lord. What a commendation Paul wrote to that fellow that he separated. You read that back in Acts, the 16th chapter. He went to Lystra, and he found a young man named Timothy. And you know what he did? He separated him to the Lord. He found out he had a good report of all the people. You know what else he found? He found he had a grandmother named Lois and a mother named Eunice, and he found unfeigned faith in them. And he said, young man, I found the same faith in your grandmother and mother is in you also. And Paul took him and had him to go forth with him. And that young man separated to the Lord, intermeddled with all wisdom, and became the protege of which Paul made the example for young men and young women of our day. Timothy, I have no man like-minded who naturally cares for you and your needs, for all men seek their own and not the things which are Christ. What a commendation he gave for that young man. We can be like Timothy and Paul. We don't have to be like Demas, forsaking him, loving the present world. We don't have to be like Alexander the coppersmith. He writes about in his last epistle, the last chapter, the last few verses of his breath before the guillotine took him. He said, Demas forsook me, love this present world. Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. Of whom be thou aware also? He's writing to Timothy. You've separated yourself. I want you to separate yourself from these world conformists. I want you to separate yourself from these idolaters, from these people that love the world. You avoid them. They'll bring much reproach, disrespect to you, and harm to the work of God. Separate yourself. All through the Word of God, every great man of God was a great separator. He wasn't a great mixer, ladies and gentlemen. Every great man of God, Moses, the first thing he did was separate the people when there was rebellion in the camp. Did you ever read that in the 16th chapter of Numbers about the rebellion of old Dathan, Abiram, those sons of On that stirred the rebellion up in the camp of the Lord? He said, separate yourselves from these sinners, for